Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
I just want to give you very, very quickly three principles of giving. All right, and these are principles that work in our life every day, right across the board, in every aspect of our lives, not just financially, but in every act of generosity, because God has called us to be generous people. And so I invite you just to make a note of these three things. I don't know if we got message notes online. I can't even remember if I did them, to tell you the truth. I don't think we have media notes or anything. So anyway, you can write, make your own. It's been a big week. Three principles of giving. Number one, cheerfully. We've already read that, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. In Psalm 126 and verse 5, it says, "Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy." Now, that's a fascinating scripture, you know. Maybe some people even brought their spring offering tonight, you know, and you're sowing because it's hurting. I was like, we're giving it in spring offering and I'm going to do this. And you're sowing in tears. That's all right. Because you'll reap with a harvest with shouts of joy. Giving cheerfully. We can give cheerfully because our ultimate trust is in a God who said these words, which I often hear, and they're stunning words, but I often hear them quoted completely out of context. God says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Now, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Because I checked out the Greek word for never, and it means never. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But listen to the context of this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And so this is an amazing promise that says to us that we can give cheerfully because we know that God is ultimately never going to let us down. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. So we can keep ourselves free from the love of money. And a very big part of doing what we did tonight actually breaks the love of money over our lives. It breaks one of the strongest spiritual principalities known to humanity, and that is the spirit of mammon. That's why when Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon," he didn't use anything else. He didn't use another example. He used the word mammon. And when we get to mammon in Matthew chapter 6, if you look at the text there, it's all in Greek until he gets to the word mammon, because mammon is in Aramaic. And it's like Jesus would have spoken common Greek, Koine Greek. That was the everyday language. But when he got to the word mammon, there was no Greek word for it. It's like if you've come from another country and English is not your first language, there will be times, and I've chatted with people from other countries and they're speaking English and they're trying to describe something to you and they get to something and they're stuck because there's a word in there native language, which doesn't easily translate into English. And so sometimes if it's husband and wife, one will turn to the other and they say, "How do you say?" And then they speak in, blah, 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 you know, another language. And then they try and come up with an explanation for what they're trying to say in English. But there isn't one English word. And that's what happens here with Jesus. You cannot serve God and, is all in Greek, mammon, Aramaic. And it doesn't mean money. In fact, it's wrongly translated as money in most of the newer translations. Mammon is the love of material things, of which the love of money is a part. But it goes much bigger than that. And Jesus is saying, out of everything, you can't love God and you can't worship God and worship stuff at the same time. And so spring offering actually breaks the spirit of mammon and makes sure that at least once a year we free ourselves from the shackles of it, because out of anything that's going to try and make a hold on your life, it'll be that, because it's the strongest principality. And so knowing that Jesus and God are never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. We can give cheerfully. Number two, give regularly. Regularly. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 says, on the first day of every week, every one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. And so Paul is here teaching the Corinthian church. He said, first day of the week, that's when the church gathered together. It's the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day. He said, I want you to put aside a sum of money every Sunday so that you're ready to give, ready to give, ready to give regularly. That means we need to budget. I read a fascinating book a couple of years ago. In fact, one of the best books I have ever read on money and possessions. And the book is called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. It's written by a guy called Randy Alcorn. And I encourage you to get a hold of that and have a read of it. It's quite revolutionary. And this is what Randy Alcorn says. He says, the I can't afford to excuse needs to be challenged. When people tell me they can't afford to tithe, I ask them, if your income was reduced by 10%, would you die? They say no. And I say, then you've admitted that you can afford to tithe. It's just that you don't want to. Pretty blunt. When people say they can't afford to give, this should be challenged. In practical terms, many people would claim they don't have any margin in their budgets for generous giving. After all of the living, there is nothing left over for giving. Instead of giving first and living on what's left over, many are living first and giving on what, if any, is left over. Obviously, this is not consistent with the Bible's teaching on stewardship. That is, everything is God's, and we are stewards who will one day be held accountable for how we managed what God gave us. But this approach, giving first and living with what's left over, is a radical concept. It is countercultural, just like everything else to do with the Christian faith. Have you noticed? It's countercultural, however. This is the response to the gospel, to follow Jesus and to submit to his lordship for his glory in every aspect of our lives, not least of all our wallets. At the heart of any significant change is a radical reorientation of lifestyle that flows from our understanding of the gospel. The gospel leads to a thoroughly radical, self-denying, sacrificial, God-glorifying lifestyle. People who want to know how to reorder their life priorities. Many people who don't give don't see how much of a blessing giving can be. They need someone to help them reorder their life priorities. And so I want to be that person to help you to give regularly. Amen? And then thirdly and lastly, sacrificially. Giving sacrificially. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is of the little widow woman who comes to give. And this is a very confrontational story. If you have a look at Mark 12, verses 41 to 44, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Let's just stop there for a moment. That's pretty in your face, isn't it? Like Jesus, there were buckets here tonight. And biblically, I would be quite within my rights if I wanted to be like Jesus. And we all want to be like Jesus, don't we? That I plonked myself right here with Christy sitting over there and checked out what you all gave. Because that's what he's doing here in this offering. He sat himself down at the point of giving and he was watching people and watching what they were putting in. And then he made a statement out of that because people were giving, quite a lot of wealthy people were coming along and peeling off, you know, some notes or whatever and putting them into the offering bucket. But then this little old widow woman comes along and it describes her in the Bible. As it says, first of all, many rich people threw in large amounts. And praise God for the rich people who throw in large amounts. But Jesus is trying to teach another concept here. He says a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him. In other words, he got his disciples to come over to where the offering buckets or whatever they used back in those days. He said this to his disciples as an object lesson. Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. And so the concept that Jesus is trying to teach us here is about sacrifice. Praise God for the wealthy people who were able to put in large amounts, but the challenge here is that Jesus expected the wealthy to put in larger amounts. Because he said, they're giving large amounts and it looks great, but what they've got left over is still massive, where this poor lady came and put everything she had. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is about equal sacrifice, not equal giving. So there may be people that are poorer who have actually given a greater percentage of their income than those who are more wealthy. And Jesus is teaching here, he says, I want all of you to be sacrificial. It's about equal sacrifice, not about equal giving. This little old lady gave probably the smallest amount out of anyone who had given that day. And yet Jesus said she's given more than anybody else. So just ponder on that, meditate on that. Sacrificial giving. It means that we will stretch our faith so that our capacity grows. And capacity grows over the process of time as we exercise the particular area in our lives where we want capacity. If you want to increase your capacity in generosity, then you need to stretch yourself in generosity. And that's what Spring Offering allows you to do. Once a year, to stretch yourself. I was challenged by a friend of mine. We trained together at the gym. And he said to me, you need to do cardio. And I'm not keen on cardio. You know, I like doing weights, but I'm not keen on cardio. And he said to me, you need to do cardio. I'm like, okay, cardio. Why do I have to do cardio? He said, because it's about your heart. Cardio comes from the Greek word cardia, which means heart. And he said, if you don't do cardio, you could have a cardiac. And so, okay, I'll do cardio. So I started, I said, what do I do? He said, give me the minimal amount that I can get by on here. And so he said, okay, 3 times a week, I want you to do 15 minutes of interval training on a cross trainer. So, because I nearly hit him, I thought, but he'd be a cross trainer. So one of those ellipticals, you know, those things that get your feet moving. So I hopped on one of those, and the first day I thought I was going to die. Seriously, 15 minutes. So I did 3 minutes normal, and then I had to do 30 seconds, really strong burst, and then 3 minutes normal, and then another 30 seconds fast and everything. And by the end of it, I'm like, I had sweat. Which was a new concept. But I got through it. And I thought, oh, thank goodness that's over. So a couple of days later, I did it again. And the next time I did it, it actually wasn't as hard. I thought, oh, this is good. You know, by the end of 3 weeks, I was doing half an hour every day. I couldn't wait because I had all this energy buzzing around on the inside of me, and I couldn't wait to get up on that and start my, this probably looks really silly, but anyway, doing the best I can to get up there and to do it. And I got to 30 minutes and then 30 minutes became easy. What was I doing? I was increasing my capacity. And we can put that principle into any part of life. Now, I want to invite Joel Cleary to come up as I finish this message, because Joel is training right now, and he's increasing his capacity. Tell us what you're doing, Joel.
I'm doing an ultra marathon in November, so it's a 50K run.
Right. Okay, now, a 50K run. I mean, I just want to go and lie down and go to sleep just thinking about that. So 50Ks, have you ever run 50Ks before?
Not yet.
Okay, so what are you doing to increase your capacity?
So every week I'll do a long run on Sundays, and then I'll do several gym workouts during the week.
Okay. Slowly
building up.
Slowly building up. So how when you first started training, how far did you run?
So I started earlier this year, so January, so getting back into running. So I started off 3K run.
Okay, and now what are you doing now? Which is, what are we, with September, so 9 months later?
Tomorrow I'll do a 35K run.
And when's the ultra marathon?
November, so 8 weeks.
You got 8 weeks to go from 35K to 50K. Yeah.
Wow.
Excellent. Well, put your hands together and all the very best. Thanks. That is awesome. You can run back to your seat. In fact, I reckon Joel should just run around the auditorium until we close in prayer. No, that's right. Well done, isn't that? That's really gutsy. We had a couple of other guys, Nathan Younghusband, who I'm going to interview tomorrow morning, who's on camera right at the back. He's just done a full marathon, which is what, 42? 42 Ks. And Will Scholes did the marathon as well, 42 Ks. But 50, that is amazing. Let me know if you need a hand at all, and I'll just drive alongside in my car and hand out drinks. And so as I wrap up, may I encourage you to make sacrifice part of your lifestyle, because as we sacrifice, we grow. And we need to, from time to time, give to a point of what I will call faithful discomfort. And as I finish, I just want us to think about the way God has already done this for us. He has set the ultimate benchmark for painful giving. In Romans 8:32, Paul writes, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things?" Amen. Let's bow in prayer together, shall we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for a wonderful night, Lord God. Thank you for a wonderful celebration to come and praise you, to come and give to you and to your work through this local church, to come and hear your word. And I pray that you will help us to take these principles to heart, that in every aspect of our lives, not just financially, but in every aspect, we would be cheerful givers, that we would be regular givers, and that we would be sacrificial givers. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand together, shall we? And we're going to finish up with a song.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.